Our guest this morning is Diana Sheets. She currently lives in Champaign, Illinois. She's published three works, and her latest is entitled American Sweet. Diana, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm not complaining. You're in Connecticut this morning?
Yeah, I'm in Connecticut. I'm about to head back to Champaign in a couple of days. But it's going to be over 100 degrees today where you are. So.
We've had 39 days over 100 degrees. Absolutely horrible.
Yep, I can't imagine. I was in Singapore, and it was swelteringly humid in the 90s, and that was enough for me. So I feel sorry for you guys, but it's going to be over soon.
Yeah, that's what they keep telling us. Okay, I got to believe that if you're in Connecticut and you ended up in Champaign, Illinois, the University of Illinois had to have something to do with that.
Yes, it did. Both my husband and I relocated there. I have an appointment in the English and History departments there, but mostly I just sit in my house and write. And when we moved there, I was really struck by how different the Midwest seemed than Connecticut or New York, where I'd spent the last 20 years. So I thought I could have a lot of fun with my novel, American Sweet, in writing about the collision of cultures between New York and the Midwest. So that's sort of what I explore in the novel.
Oh, well, before we go into that, let's go into your first two novels. Tell us about them.
Okay. So right now I only have one before it. I'm working on a third one, which is a post-apocalyptic sci-fi, but it's not done yet. So the first novel is called The Cusp of Dreams, and it's in the tradition of Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman and David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross, and it's really asking what happens when, unfortunately, it really relates to us today, but it's asking what happens when every American is at risk of losing his or her job, and what happens when women have become every bit as treacherous and aggressive in the workplace and behave very much like men. So it's a tragedy with comedy to keep you reading, but it's painting a very dark portrait of America and joblessness today. So I think it's touching a little bit on the core of what Americans are feeling, but it's looking at every aspect of our struggle today.
Now, it sounds almost more like reality than fiction.
Yes, it is. I worked in corporate America for 12 years, and when I was working for Ameritech, which is the Midwest Bell telephone company, I was hiring people who did not have a living wage, and they were not able to really get up in the morning and work. But the stories that they told were so riveting. So this is a fictional version, but you can see every aspect of our society. You can see gambling, you can see child abuse, you can see everything, cheating at the workplace. But you also see people trying to have and sustain human relationships.
A question.
Yes.
I have the impression, no, let me take that back. I have the belief that outside of health or some catastrophic coincidence that happens to a person, everybody has the ability to pretty well accomplish what they want to in life. Haven't we as a country made a lot of these people you just talk about slaves to this country because we provide them their way of life?
Yeah, well, I think that's really, I agree with you, Ted. I think that we've become accustomed to everything being given to us and we expect to be taken care of. And the world is changing. Even if we wanted to have that, it no longer exists. So I think our ability to really decide and make our way through lives and take charge and control over our actions and how we make our way in the world will really help us to succeed. So I agree with you, Ted.
But don't we have a government that kind of feeds on the fact that if we can get a majority of the people, I think there's like 40% plus of the American people now, get some type of government check, haven't we then become slaves to the government, and the government can get reelected into political offices and they can pretty well do what they want to because we owe our souls and our life to the government?
I agree with with you. I think the biggest issue is, even if you wanted that, how are we going to pay our bills? If everything comes down to having government support us, but we don't produce anything of any value, then how can we buy the things we want to buy from China or anywhere else? So I really think, regardless of whether people like being taken care of or not, it's not the financial solution for America or for ourselves.
American Sweet. Tell me about the novel.
Okay, so American Sweet is a much lighter comedy, and it's looking at the modern American family. And it's sort of, if you can look at Candace Bushnell's Sex in the City or Bridget Jones's Diary, these are what they call chick lit novels. They're novels about romance and relatively young women. So I've decided, and they now dominate the fictional marketplace. Memoir and confessional memoir and these love stories are really what sell. But I wanted to sort of have some fun with that genre, but really put in the real American family and sort of look at America after 9/11 and see how it was coping in the world.
It's written in the form of a diary, and when I first started reading it, I'll be honest, I was a little confused, then it got very interesting, and boy, this is way past real life. I mean, these people in your book had some unusual happenings in their life.
Yes, the novel begins at the end of the story, and it resembles Tom Wolfe's Bonfire of the Vanities. There's all these newspaper articles about this scandal in Arissa's life. And but really what I'm trying to do is create an American novel that has the whole panoramic vision of all of the different voices and actions that are going on in America. So it's, you know, it's a mother in her 70s, and she's got a daughter who's moved from New York to the Midwest, and it's Arissa is looking around saying, wow, this is really strange. The Midwest is so different than New York. And then there's another daughter with three children. But in the process of writing a diary novel that is supposedly about, with a woman's world, I think you can understand that it's really a story about America today and the struggles that are going on.
But we've got intelligent, sophisticated women that makes some very dumb decisions.
No.
Would that be a fair analysis?
They do, but don't you think that all of us do? I mean, when we love to think that we have control of our lives and we always do the right thing and we all know how to get along together and we can get together for family gatherings and it can all be wonderful, but isn't there always some little catastrophe that comes rolling across the room that creates a little stink bomb, if you will, during the middle of the holidays? So, you know, that's the sort of thing I wanted to explore in American Sweet.
Amazing. Where can you get the book?
Okay, you can get it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's available both in paperback and also in the e-books, the Barnes & Noble Nook and Amazon Kindle, and it will soon be available in the iBookstore, the Apple iBookstore.
How long has it been out?
It's been out since almost a year. It came out last October, and I've been really promoting it nonstop. And I think, though, the thing that I love about the book is it really, really looks at America and asks, what happens when America, the American family, becomes multicultural, when it's no longer a WASP white family, but multiculturalism enters into the family, and how does it cope with the changing identity? So the mother who's in Connecticut with three children, they all end up embracing different religious identities. One child becomes Jewish, like her Christian grandmother, who becomes Jewish. The second one really embraces Hinduism, and the third, like his father, becomes very religious and in embracing his Christian beliefs.
Dinah Sheets, our guest this morning. The name of the novel is American Sweet. We'll talk with Dinah more in just a moment. Don't go away. Our guest this morning is Dinah Sheets. It's a new novel called, well, I say new, it's been out almost a year, American Sweet. And Dinah, one of the things that I find interesting about what you're talking about this morning, in a prior life, which wasn't that long ago, my partner and I were in the cable TV business, and we had cable companies in like 8 states and like close to 50 franchises. 13 of them were right there around Champaign, Illinois. And the one thing I found, whether I was in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, Illinois, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, I found people pretty much were the same everywhere. Same problems, same desires, same needs. And you kind of put a big difference between, say, Connecticut and the Midwest there around Champaign.
Yes. You know, it's really funny. My mother grew up in the Midwest, and half my family went to school at the University of Iowa. But it really felt different to me. I had never really been in an intimate community where you really knew your neighbors, and they remembered your name, and they said hello to you every day. And it was really small-town America, and it was really the first time I'd been in that environment. And so if you're a fictional writer, you try to look at the material in your life and see how you can make it into comedy and tell a story. So I wanted to capture for a hard-bitten New Yorker just how strange it seemed to be living in the land of what she calls OFPs, overly friendly people, and in a community where everybody knows your name and everybody has a long-standing relationship with one another.
Do you find that to be the case in Champaign?
Yes, I really do. When you get there, you know, it's very flat, and it's not. It's a wonderful, wonderful community. But you look around, and you're not used to the prairie, and you're not used to this long, flat horizon. And people say things like, "Well, the thing that's really great about this community is people are really wonderful." And if you've been in a community where there were no relationships, where you know you're either in New York, you're in New Jersey, and you're commuting into New York, you're not really used to this human contact and going into the bank and having the person remember who you are. Now, I'm sure where you are, that's very common, but it was a new experience for me.
So I take it, Dinah, that you're talking about these wonderful, sweet people in Champaign, Illinois. You've never been in an assembly center on a cold, snowy night when the University of Illinois was playing Michigan.
No, I haven't.
Those people are transformed to different people.
Yes, they are. But I'll tell you, I wasn't. Well, the only time I was in Assembly Hall happened to be when Bill Clinton was there with Al Gore right after the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and that was really quite a carnival, I have to tell you.
I would have rather seen Bill Self there with the fighting Alana.
Yep, I'm sure you would have.
Yeah, tell me about the sales. You're getting some good sales on this book or not?
Yeah, I'm doing some good sales. I've been going around the country, so I had a really great TV interview with Smokey Bacon in Boston, and you can actually go to my website, Literary Gulag, and you can download that TV interview or watch it, and it also includes a lot of the radio interviews I've had, not only about American Sweep, but also my first novel, The Cusp of Dreams, and I became one of the experts in political narrative during the 2008 election. So you can also get the essays that I keep archived there for free and download them. And also take a look at Cold Comfort, which is a chapter in my first novel that really explores what it's like for a Yankee to be in the South.
Spell that website. That's going to confuse my listeners.
Literary, as in L-I-T-E-R-A-R-Y, like a literary book, and then Gulag, G-U-L-A-G, like the Soviet gulag where prisoners were kept during Stalin's time. What I'm basically saying is that I am in a gulag. In a politically correct university, you're not allowed to tell the truth. And only in the literary gulag can I tell the true stories about our culture and our world.
Never thought about a website, just simply Dinah Sheets at bellself.com.
Huh? Yeah, that would be easier, wouldn't it?
Tell us very quickly, before we go to commercial break, I'm way behind schedule, where you can pick up the novelette.
Okay, so you can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Those are probably the easiest ways, and you can get it as a paperback, or if you now have an e-reader, you can get it at both places as an e-book.
Dinah Sheets will be back with our remaining moments in a moment. Don't leave us. This is Open Line. Back in a moment. The novel, The American Suite. Donnie, just you and I have never talked before, and the 20 minutes or so we've been together this morning, I'm guessing you and I could be friends, but probably would never agree on a single political issue.
You know, I think you're very, very wrong, Ted.
Maybe that's not the case.
No, I have to tell you, I would have considered myself very, very liberal until I went to an academic community, and then I realized my views were very much different than what has become the so-called left-wing community of academe.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's colleges. I mean, colleges, let's face it, my daughter went to SMU, and they convinced her after 4 years that she'd be making $80,000, and she is a press secretary in Congress making $30,000.
Yeah.
I mean, academics aren't really realistic, but the point I make is that outside of the University of Illinois, Champaign, that area is a very conservative area.
It is.
You don't find that a little strange for Habitat for you?
No. I think if I look, I like the cultural amenities of a university community, and I would feel very, I'm not sure I could cope well without those. But I actually like the conservative values of the Midwest. It's refreshing. People know how to get up and go to work in the morning. They have really good values. They know the importance of family. And these things really resonate with me. And I think the Midwest really knows how to sustain these values. And I welcome that. So I think you might find that we have a lot more in common than you think. And really, going there, forced me to rethink a lot of my social and political attitudes, and I've become much more conservative since I've moved to the Midwest.
We got a minute and a half left. Tell me about your new novel. When's it going to be out? Got a quick description of it.
Well, I'm working on that. That's not out yet. That's going to be a sci-fi. So let's just focus a little bit more on American Suite. If you want to look at how America is coping in the aftermath of 9/11 and how America is coping with becoming a multicultural nation, and the comedy we would have when the worlds of Woody Allen collide with Garrison Keillor, I think that's what your readers could look for in American Suite.
In American Suite, are we finding, and do you find it in reality as well, are the people of America turning away from God as we know it, whether it's Jewish or Christian or Judaism or whatever, or are we getting closer?
The thing I discovered when I moved to the Midwest is the importance of God and religion in America. I think you can convince yourself if you're in New York or Connecticut that it doesn't matter very much, but it matters a great deal to the heartland of America, and I realized I couldn't keep religion out of the story. So I think the search for faith and spirituality, I'm not saying we always find it, but I think that's very much a part of American Suite, and I think Americans would do well to find a way to embrace spirituality and religion. I think we'd be a happier people, actually.
Our guest this morning, Donna Sheets, the novel American Suites. Pick it up today. Donna, thanks for sharing your time with us.
Ted, I really appreciate being on your program. Thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye.